Hello and welcome to episode 14 of A Need to Read. If you're listening to this for the first time, you can find us on Instagram at A Need to Read with the number 2 as opposed to the word 2. This episode is my second episode with a guest. It's none other than Sunday Times bestselling author, all-round good guy, James Smith. And I'd be failing myself if I didn't say James Smith PT, because that's where you probably know him from. It's a really interesting conversation. We discuss everything from space to travel and jiu-jitsu, boxing, swimming, mostly space towards the end. Really interesting conversation. Excited for you guys to listen to it on this computer. Right, James, you're live on A Need to Read. Please swear as much like I don't care. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me. Are you going to put this on YouTube as well?
This is going on YouTube so people can see all the videos. The pregnancy pillow. You see your absolute chill zone.
I'm chilled 10,000, level 10,000 right now. It's 5 p.m. in the evening. I would say I've had a hard day, but I haven't. excited to be here. Excited to, shoot the shit, as we just said.
Perfect. Well, you're my first author that I've had on. Sunday Times best-selling author, nonetheless. And you're writing another book.
Yeah, I'll try. It sounds weird when you call me an author. I always think, oh yeah, kind of baffling by accident.
Oh, yeah, kind of do that as well.
in my opinion, it doesn't. It's a weird thing for me. I suppose to use a boxing analogy, I've been winding up a right hand for a few years building and cultivating a following. So, it sometimes feels a little bit disingenuous to be a Sunday Times bestseller because of how long I spent curating a following that would buy a book, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
I know. So sometimes I do sit back and I think, did I write a good book or do I have a good bunch of followers? Do I have a supportive crowd?
Do you know what's really funny? Obviously it's taken bribes to get you on here. I've had to send you cookie dough. And
thank you for that.
That's right. I've waited around for a little bit and I started clicking through Amazon. I started going on the reviews. I didn't want to read the 5-star reviews. I was like, I'm looking at the 1-stars. And they're relatively nice, mate. That's the funny thing. Is people, one person, she had her face and she looked like the moon emoji. Very round. And she's like, I knew it all already. I was like, probably don't.
Yeah, mate, I got that. People are like, I've been following James for years on Instagram. over the last 3 years of following James on Insta, there's nothing in the book that I didn't know before. So for that reason, it's 1-star. And I'm like, oh, right, okay. So I've educated you for 3 years about all components, macronutrients, nutrition, segmentation of calorie, everything.
Yeah.
I've charged you $8.99 for it and given you a physical hardback book in which you can gift to people should you not need it yourself. And that to you was not worth the same as a Swimming World 1 month membership. For that reason, I don't think that person could ever be pleased.
No, absolutely not. And one of them was quite a nice one, apart from the start, she's a charlatan with a pretty face.
Me?
Yeah. Well, what about me?
I'd
take it.
She's probably a Joe Wicks fan or something.
There was one of them as well.
Yeah, you're going to get them. You're going to get a few sour apples. Sour grapes, that's what I meant. The other thing is this week I get the update for my podcast and this one comment was like, this is amazing, it's the best podcast I've ever listened to. 3-star review.
I was like, how does that work?
Yeah, how can it be good if you give me 3 stars? The review sections aren't really the best places to look in my opinion, because Ant Middleton got a 1-star review for his book being damaged when it was delivered.
Well, I mean, he really should have combated that. He should have planned for that.
But not even that. That's Amazon or it's WH Smith or Waterstones. Yeah, someone's done a bad job delivering it and the author has got a bad rating for it. But the thing is, you can't please everyone. And what I'm excited about in book 2 is that there's nothing that people are going to have heard about. Every time I've spoken to someone about it, I've told them a little bit. And they're like, oh, I've not heard of that today. Or I've not heard of that before. And today's writing was about biases. So I covered the confirmation bias in the first book.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I'm talking about other biases that occur in our life, including the attractive bias. And I've even referenced studies of if you're guilty or not, being good looking isn't going to help you, because that's the way courts work. But your sentencing is hugely influenced by how good looking you are. Statistically, they've been studying this for 40 years. And I'm talking big discrepancies, like between 1.7 and 4 years for a felony, depending on how good looking you are.
Mate, we're in luck.
Good looking people are less likely to be given longer jail sentences. So we've got all of these kind of biases that we don't even know we have. And most of them are automated. And in this big chapter about biases, I'm just making people aware about different things and thinking fallacies. And there's so much in this book. And when I was writing it, I was like, no one is going to be able to say, we've heard that before.
Yeah, apart from if they listen to this and they've just heard that little segment.
Well, I already knew that bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I even mentioned in the last podcast, the Fair Points one, about regression to the mean, which is something from statistics. And someone messaged me and was like, have you studied statistics? I was like, no, I've read other books. And so I'm taking not having the constraints of fitness wandering over my head gives me the freedom to go off on a lot of tangents. So I'm fucking excited. Yeah. My editor and my manager and my strategy director, they're like, the book one did its job. They're all looking at me going, I think this is better.
That's good.
Because it's not fitness as much.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well,
everyone have to fucking buy it anyway. So that's
It's a token. It's a follower's token. Yeah. And again, get it. I think we have a release for it in 8 days. I think we tell people.
Mate, I'm excited for it. And I'll certainly be reading it as soon as it's out. Getting it,
thank
telling people
much.
To read it as well. If it's good, of course. I mean,
if it's not,
I can't imagine it's not. I'll still tell them to buy it anyway.
You'll just do like a book review. You'll be like, heard it all before.
Yeah, heard it all before. Spoke to them on the podcast, heard it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I what I liked about your first book, and you're talking about this with the reviews, is your sort of philosophy on people liking you and people not, and it's better to stand out and be disliked for the stuff that you actually don't like and liked for the things you do like. You talk about the Formula One and you're at a party and you say that you don't like Formula One. 8 people there are like, oh, what a wanker. And there's 2 people there that are like, well, I don't like Formula One either, so I'm going to chat to him. So you get a way more sort of authentic conversation with those 2 people than having a surface level shitty conversation with all the people that you're pretending to like that one thing for.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, stand your fucking ground. If I go out for an Italian and someone's like, what pizza do you want? I'll have a margarita. Someone goes, fucking, that's a bit boring. I go, how's that boring? That is the perfect mix of pizza and simplicity. Sometimes more is not better. So how about you back the fuck up and you get your fucking olive-based, mushroom-covered, 4 cheese fucking pizza and fuck off? 8 people on the table are going to be like, fucking hell. But 2 people are going to go,
James had a bad day.
They're going to go, do you know what? I'll have a margarita because what you said was right. Rather than people just being vanilla, I think it's very important that people are polarizing. Again, people do it when it comes to discussions around smartphones and cars and things like that. And Formula One is the topic of contention. Again, when Wimbledon comes around, I'm like, I love having a game of tennis, but I think it's dog shit to watch.
Yeah.
And so many people suffer in silence, not liking tennis, afraid for the rebuttal of speaking up about it. When you're like, I fucking hate tennis watching it. Okay, me too. You've got something in common. And this is important in building rapport. Have you ever noticed that when you're on holiday, you meet someone from the same town, you're like, fucking hell, mum, some same town as us. Because you have something in common, you've just been brought closer.
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to rob you. You don't think they're going to steal your stuff when you go to the bar. Because you're from the same fucking town. That means nothing. But because it's a similarity, you build rapport. You are more likely to, I haven't got any evidence to back this up, by the way. You're more likely, doesn't matter, it's in a book. Yeah. You're more likely to let someone into a car parking space if they have the same car as you. Guarantee it. Golf drivers, there's a community of like-minded people. You had all the choices of a car and you picked golf.
Yeah, love
there's
golf.
There's surfers, skateboarders.
Jiu-jitsu,
yeah. Like all these people. You see someone with a gi in their car, you're like, you do jiu-jitsu. Because they have opted also to kill people in pajamas, you have something in common. So these similarities you can only really get out from people by being polarizing.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things I found, like when I went out to Oz, taking like reading your book before I went, I've kind of had a transition. I reckon about 24 years of my life, I was just pretending to be someone I wasn't. And
I did that. I've done that.
I've like, and I think that's the other thing. People underestimate that stuff about your content and like stuff that you write is, it is about life and it does help with life. The relationships I've made sort of since leaving England and then having to come back, way more authentic because like, I'm not pretending to like shit that I don't like. If people are, oh mate, like when I was in Bondi in the hostels, like, oh, do you want to come down to, what's that on the front?
Muscularia.
Nah, that other one that's
bucket list.
So, oh, do you want to come down to bucket list and have margaritas? And I was like, well, no, I don't really like margaritas. I'm not going to come down. Oh, you're fucking boring. I'm like, well, it's not boring. It's
just don't do it.
Really sugary drink that I just can't be arsed with. And I kind of just want to go to bed so I can get up and go for a swim in the morning.
Have you ever been to Germany?
No.
I wrote about this in the book. I love different cultures. Like, cultures are all very vastly different. But you go to Germany, Darren and I checking into hotel. I'm like, mate, that restaurant across from here, is it any good? No. Oh, thanks. Like, in England, they'd be like, do you know what? I've been there a couple of times. The both times I've been there, it's not been the best. I mean, you can go there. We fluff around things where when you get to, like, German culture, they just say, no. Hey, I think you're really pretty. Am I able to get your number? No. Well, you have a nice day. Rather than, we just waste time otherwise. But yeah, you're completely right that you just do things you want. And do you know what? A lot of people will misunderstand what you're doing, especially in British culture, and think you're a wanker. But I like to think now that all of my friends, when I tell them I'm enjoying something or I'm having a good day or, you know, that I really liked what they produced, they know I'm not lying.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's just, and the thing is, you are, I don't know if people say this, but you're Mr. No Bullshit. For me, you just like, there's fuck all that's like a lie. Like when I have spent time with you, I haven't once like doubted and thought, well, I don't know if that's real there, because for the whole time that I've like watched your shit or like read your book or, and like, it's probably been about 3 years, I've been like, well, do you know what? It seems like he's telling the truth. You've almost got like a Ricky Gervais kind of approach. Like, and like, I'm not trying to blow smoke up your ass there, but like, it is that no bullshit approach that's, it makes people, like you say, accept what you're saying, especially when it's nice as well. And that's, you're like, just James means
it. I'm like, oh, I really like what you're doing there. They're like, oh, you're being sarcastic. I'm like, look, I am sarcastic and facetious about a lot of things, but I'm never falsely nice.
Yeah.
And there are going to be people that like that trait. And you find that you attract people like you. So when you pretend to be, when you pretend to be someone, you attract people just like that. You pretend to be overly polite, overly nice, overly, you know, all these things. You attract people that aren't you. So when I meet my academy members and James of the academy, I swear a lot, I like a drink, I like a fucking laugh. Like, I meet people that are just like me. And that's the powerful thing, where if I tried to be really professional when I was a PT in the onset, and I just attracted professional ball bags.
Yeah.
Not to say they're not good people, they're just not my people.
Yeah.
Like, so for me, you know, I think that's a very powerful trait to have. By the way, is that a bunk bed?
Yeah, I'm at my uncle's house. And I'm meant to be painting, of course, taking a little break for my full-time career as a podcaster and staying in my cousin's room. And there's a bunk bed in here. So it beats, there's another bedroom next door that I was meant to be staying in, but I wouldn't fit in the bed. So,
like, the ensemble is good. You've got the face in the natural light, which I like. Bunk bed was an interesting tangent. Where does your uncle live?
In Broxbourne, North London, on the River Lee from the Adele song.
Never heard of that before.
Yeah, well, it's all right, to be fair. It's hay fever's mad, which is a bit shit. But and I can't swim, because of course I'm a swimmer now. And I've got to say, can't go in the River Lee because it's full of shit, apparently.
Yeah.
And your podcast, I listened to yesterday with Ross Edgeley. Firstly, when you sent me the picture of that, I was like, you motherfucker. Like, I'm jealous. And listening to it, it was such a good podcast. So I'm gonna do some plugging for you now. If people haven't listened to James' podcast in the past, it's No Bullshit, gets good people on. And then there's the spin-off podcast, which is the Fair Points, which, mate, just listen to three people shoot the shit. Especially, I text Lord the other day, I was like, I think I might be Ferris's biggest fan.
Mate, he's we're on to something, right? When we started the Fair Points podcast, there was accusations that Ferris could be the Carl Pilkington. I was like, no. That's going to be Sunny. because Sonny
push him into it.
Is King Waffle.
Yeah.
You notice that, right? He has these little moments where Sonny comes out, right? And in one of them, we were talking about something and he goes, 50 no's and a yes is still a yes. And I'm like, what the fuck? Talk about persistence to me. I'm like, wow.
And then he's just like, I love my girlfriend.
Yeah, he's like, you know, and we were talking about when, you know, when's the right time to first have sex with someone? Me and Ferris like, shooting their shit. And he's like, well, it depends on how much you like the person. That's why we slyly call him Switzerland.
Oh, because he's just trying to stay neutral. Don't want to offend anyone.
It's part of the dynamic.
Well, that's a good thing. They're all going to bring different things. That's what's going to make it such a good podcast. So I'm pleased that you've brought that out. In danger of straying from the point of books, because of course books are really cool, but I obviously appreciate not everyone loves books, and that's why it's good for me to get people on so I can not just review books all the time. Like, you've written a book, you've claimed you're a secret reader. I don't know if it's necessarily that much of a secret anymore. I think all of your followers know that you read, and that's quite a lot of people. What is the one book, would you say, had like the biggest impact on your life? You read it and you're like, fuck, I need to change.
You know what? I hate it because it's so cliche. Yeah. It's the most cliche fucking book ever. It's 4-Hour Work Week.
Yeah.
And you know, that's, and before people fucking sigh, right? It was one of the first books. And it did change a lot. And I know that people, they're like, oh, I've read the 4-Hour Work Week, I'm going to go to Asia. But for me, I'd always been confined to thinking I had to go to work.
Yeah.
Like this whole idea of creating an online business, creating a service that no one had before, remotely working from a laptop. I, funnily enough, met a guy in Croatia, went to those waterfalls in Split. And he was working. He's like, oh, I work online. I was like, how the hell do you work online? What do you do? He's like, I'm an accountant.
Tell me now.
Yeah, I'm like, how's this? He just said to me, read the 4-Hour Work Week. So I went away and I read it. And I was, my mind was blown every chapter. And I was like, fuck. Like, even the chapter where he talks about walking down the street, seeing a t-shirt, wearing a t-shirt. And some people asked him, where'd you get it from? Three people asked. And he was like, fuck, I should create a store where I sell this t-shirt. He's like, I'm not going to order any stock. I'm just going to create the store. See if how many people go through to the checkout. You check the demand. Was it worth enough buying the stock? It was. You don't have to be passionate about t-shirts to see a trend.
Yeah.
And myself, I do something similar with content. One person messaged me about Skinny Jab. I was like, nah, I can't be fucked. Second person messaged me. When three people in 10 DMs message me about Skinny Jab, I know it's time to do it.
Yeah.
And with business, one person asks you to be a PT, two people, three people, right, demand's here, create a product, an offering, a service, sales funnel, and I've never looked back. And that one really opened my eyes to having multiple revenue streams. And otherwise, I suppose I was locked into the four walls mentality of being a PT, where you need a gym, you have people that come to it, you train them, then they leave. And for me, it was too much of a rigid. Once I read the book, I was like, right,
not doing it.
I probably did. After I read that book, I reckon I did another 40 PT sessions ever.
And then just done.
Online now. So, you know, a lot of people read that stuff, but they, like for me, it changed my mind about retirement, changed my mind about what I was doing in life. And to, in essence, once I read that book, I went on holiday and I never stopped. I'm still on holiday now.
Yeah. The thing is, 2016. Like you're extremely hardworking, but it is almost like you're retired as well. Like you're living it now. You get up and like train when you could. I know you are kind of now, like train jiu-jitsu in the morning, train it in the evening, go for a swim, write your email, have three coffees in the coffee shop. Like it's a pretty sick life and you do pretty well out of it.
I'm getting away with murder. Like I wake up at 6:30 most days. I crawl out of bed, go to coffee, do my emails, talk to my business partner, write a few programs. And, you know, it's to the point now where I write three programs to the academy a day. Mm. That's 1,000 programs a year, but it takes me maybe 20 minutes. I write a sales email. A sales email will typically get me about 1,000 clicks to either book, merchandise, or academy. Then at the moment, I write for about an hour a day with work.
Yeah.
I write every day for an hour for a few months, and then I've got a fucking book out of it. It's about investing my time in places that pay back. Then today I've started boxing. So I've got a boxing coach now.
Is that because obviously the jiu-jitsu You didn't want me to guillotine you. You're thinking you have to go striking.
Do you know what? Darren and I, there was a time where we couldn't do jiu-jitsu together, but now we're a lot more respectful to each other. But it's always been lingering above me that he's a very good striker in Muay Thai. So he's got a good kicking game. He's got a good, punching game. Me, I'm quite stiff from robotic when I move.
Yeah.
So with the jiu-jitsu stuff, I want to do more stand-up. And John, when I was younger, I always wanted to box, but my mum wouldn't let me. She was like, no, when you do boxing.
So I used to get nosebleeds. So I went to a couple, and she's like, you can't do that anymore. I was like, oh, come on, mum. How am I going to be tough now? I'm still searching.
Mate, and I've always just really wanted to learn and do some stuff. So I got a boxing coach, and it's not that much hard work. I'm learning to weave. I'm learning to combo. I'm learning to keep my gloves by my face. And I'm training for a fight that's probably never going to happen.
Yeah.
One day, if someone came up to me and were like, right, Darren, James, Chengdu fight night, 2022, how do you boys feel about doing an MMA fight? Or how do you boys feel about... doing some stand-up or whatever it is, or we do a round of gi, a round of no-gi, and a round of stand-up.
Yeah.
It'd be a big fucking surprise for Darren if he realised I'd learned to box.
and this is your motivation.
just in case it ever presents itself, or also just in case, imagine in a year's time, someone's like, do you want to do a charity boxing match? And they don't realise that for fucking 6 months, I was actually learning how to... how to box, so that everyone's like, oh, James is a jiu-jitsu guy, let's get him into a ring. For me, I get a sick sadistic pleasure out of getting better at it. Today is the first time I learned to wrap my hands properly, and the coach I'm with has already decided what type of game I'm going to play, and it's a very much inside body attack kind of boxing stance. And I'm already thinking that if I did go up against Darren, I should pin him in the corner and just shoot. Don't shoot the shit, I shoot the liver. And my coach already is like, you cannot hit your training partner this hard. He's like, you can't throw body shots this hard.
But he's my best mate and he deserves it.
Yeah, he's like, no, it's all right. So like, I suppose that's another thing where I take time out my day for training, for whatever. I just played an hour of Warzone before and had a nap.
Yeah.
Before coming on here.
Some life, mate.
And it's just to make sure that I invest time, effort, and energy into the right kind of places where they're going to pay back. And although I'm on a holiday, the time I have is spent right. And to sit here and someone goes, James, you're going to live this day every day for the rest of your life. How do you feel? I'm like, yeah, brilliant. And if you're not,
it's a nice philosophy.
First 26 years of my life, I'm not sure I would have said the same. Actually, first 24, I would have said the same. Mm. PTing, I loved what I did, and I could easily have done that. But the elephant in the room is when you're 50, it could be quite difficult to walk around the gym floor and, hey, do you want to do a PT session? Not to say that the environment of PT, I mean, so many personal trainers would have thought the environment of PT is not going to change. COVID.
Boom, done.
Yeah. So to have a versatile approach with an app, training people at home, books, if this had all hit 4 years ago, it would have put me out of business.
Yeah. The thing is, I know a lot of people have suffered with COVID. I'm quite thankful for it. There's a few things that have led to me making this podcast, and I feel like I found something that I really want to do, and I'm excited for the stuff that's going to branch off from it.
Mate, there's...
I wouldn't have done this without this. I'd have been in Australia and I would have...
Be shooting the shit out here.
Yeah, I probably would have just got a job at a coffee shop. I did a barista course before I came home. I was ready to go... work and preach, so I get some free pancakes every now and then.
Thing is, if not so many people had died, I tell you what, people would love COVID.
Mm.
Like they'd get to the end of it. If no one died and we all stayed inside for a few months, fair enough, there's a recession coming that's going to fucking wipe the face to the earth. But like, at the same time, yes, don't worry about me. I'll be fine.
Don't worry about me.
Don't worry about it. Like, recession aside, there's some people are going to struggle with, but do you know what? I think as a community, as a humanity, I think we're going to be fine, probably for it. Mm. But at the same time, I think a lot of people have hit pause on life, thought about careers, spent more time with their kids, you know, appreciated their home, their environments. Mm. I think the corporate structures are going to change to the point that not many people are going to want to live near the city anymore. Yeah. I think it's going to change property pricing as far as agglomeration to central business districts. I think the whole world's going to really change. And one thing that I realized is most meetings you don't need to go to.
Mm.
And I can't wait for people to no longer keep going to fucking meetings and, oh, I've got a meeting, I've got a meeting. I worked in corporate. Meetings are where ideas go to die. And I'm so glad there's going to be less of them. And even doing them on Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, do that. Save people time and money so they can have important meetings chill in their boxes.
And do wholesome shit. I remember when I worked like in the sort of corporate world and I was like selling health, every morning we'd have a morning meeting for 15 minutes. And I was so fucking miserable. They're like, Ed, how are you? I'm the same as yesterday. I'm shit. I still work here for some reason. And they're like, oh, well, that's positive. And I'm like, well, no, it's not, because I don't feel positive because this is shit and pointless.
Hey, I had my first proper job in an office in Reading, in Thiel, and similar kind of thing. It was like the people that ran the business had watched too many films.
Yes. Like
chucking parkies on the table.
Oh,
yeah, but that was even out at this time.
Yeah.
And they had free toast and free spread. And because I fucking hate
what a place.
Mate, 10:30, peanut butter Nutella sandwiches.
Peanutella. I was eating them. That's probably going to be the most profound point from this podcast, mate. Peanutella.
Nice. Mate, and I'd nail a few of them. And then I'd just be on Miniclip playing games most of the day. I'd be calling Cornwall County Council, putting the phone down and hanging up about 20, 30 times. Then I'd leave it on hold for half an hour. So that Cornwall County Council, yeah, dial one, dial two, dial three, and then it goes back. A lot of them cut out. Cornwall County Council does not. And then they're like, James, you're averaging a minute a call, 2 minutes a call. That's fantastic. I was like, yeah, thanks for that. I would go drinking on my lunch break with this other lad called Colin. He had a master's degree in renewable energy and he was doing sales with me. And he fucking hated his life. I was like, why are you not working in renewables, mate? Like, oh, you know, I just need something to pay the bills, whatever. We go drinking cider in a park at lunchtime.
That's depressing, but at least
yeah,
you got
through
it.
Yeah, it's depressing, mate. Like, I remember there was one lunch where there was someone sat on a bench. So we went and sat on like the swings, like in a kid's park. We're drinking cider on lunch break. And I was like, I fucking hate this job. And you just get through it because you're like, oh, I'm someone in my young 20s. Little did I know, like you said, I could have gone to, like in the UK, we don't have this coffee shop culture that kills me. It's too taken over by Costa, Nero, which is shit coffee.
Mate, Starbucks Ed, is the worst. Like,
you should go somewhere independent and they should all have their own styles. Like, here, we've got dairy, we've got a good one, whatever. The very people in them who enjoy their work and, you know, smile. And, you know, that's missing from the UK. We should be putting young people into sociable environments where they can hit pause in life and just decide what they want to do.
Yeah, I think that kind of what's good for me is like going out and going and traveling. I started reading sort of before then and it opened my mind up to a load of different sort of like ideas and things like that. And as soon as you start doing stuff like that, you start to become more open. You start becoming to loads of different things that could have a massive like change or effect on your life. And like going away is the best thing I think people can do, getting out of England. Yes. Because I think England, I know there's going to be some people that listen to this that aren't in England, I wouldn't really bother coming because I feel like everyone's pretty sad here at the moment.
I think that, you know, and I said this to Ross Edgley off air yesterday, I went, the bad thing at the moment, everyone's being fucking ostracized and being made to pick sides, whether it's CrossFit, BLM, whatever it is. Social media is a place that so many people go for happiness. No one's going on holiday. No one's being happy. So yeah, they've had that taken away from them. And yeah, it's a fucking, you're right. Not a lot of people are happy. Mm. For me, I traveled quite a lot when I was young. I keep forgetting that when I was like 23, I went to New Zealand to play rugby, but I still didn't read then. I got into a few books when I went traveling. How old was I when I first went traveling? Was that before or after New Zealand? It must have been before. I remember reading The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Because I was traveling with the missus and she did my fucking head in. It would have been after that.
Shout out to you if you're listening.
I would have been about 20. I would have been 22 in New Zealand, 23 when I went traveling. And I really enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, I've got a better reading speed than what I thought. And The Hunger Games, way better to read than to actually watch the films. And then when I really started getting into nonfiction, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like Daniel Kahneman, Thinking Fast and Slow, first ones. Rolf DeBelli, The Art of Thinking Clearly. then there's little times where people like Lucy Lord, when she's like Ryan Holiday, Mark Manson, those ones are amazing. But some people have put books in front of me at the right time. One of which, when I was on a live and I was speaking about launching the academy, a guy I used to play rugby with was like, read Peter Thiel's 0-1.
Yeah.
And in that, he's like, he pretty much was like, don't compete with people unless you're 10 times better. Unless you're 10 times better, don't bother. And smart. He goes, instead, go somewhere where no one's doing anything. And it talks about what motivates people. And the book was perfect. It was there the whole time. I just needed someone to put it in front of me.
Yeah.
People don't realize this. There's a book for everything. Not all of us have the network. If you don't have a network of readers, they can never position them as stepping stones in front of you.
That is essentially the idea of this podcast, is to get those kind of books in front of people. And granted, it's probably going to be difficult to me to get like a lot of people listening to a podcast about books because they're not open to it. But I might do that one post that catches their attention. Someone might share a post that catches their attention. They then listen to it and they read the book and it changes their life. That's what I'm hoping for.
that's the important thing, because when people come to you with problems, you don't always have the solutions, but if you know people that do, you can direct them there. Use this as a soundbite if you fucking like.
Yeah.
When people break up with people, I say to them, you've got a choice of two books. I was like, we can go a bit more cliche, Mark Manson. Subtle art, yeah, not giving a fuck.
Of course.
Or let me bring in Ryan Holiday, Obstacles of the Way. Which one do you want, mate? How bad's the breakup? It's pretty fucking savage. Obstacles of the Way, son. Get that in you. And then just before they exit the conversation, my mate Cam just broke up. 5-year relo, middle of COVID.
Brutal.
Savage. And I said, listen to this. And what I loved is the next day, he messaged me. He goes, this is really good. I went, you fucking read it. Brilliant. Someone took some good advice.
Yeah.
And he got into it. And when we were airing over some of the issues you expect from a 5-year relo, he'd already used the book to address them.
That's so good. I think when you give people advice like that, because I recommend books all the time to people, it's pretty much all I do. And I never take my own advice. I'll read that book, something will happen to me, and I'm like, well, not bothered. Like, I remember that, but I'm not taking my own advice. And I was actually saying to Lord the other day, I was like, I feel that modern day enlightenment is taking your own advice. And you can't really give yourself good advice unless you read loads about it, about life.
It takes sometimes as well a few people, a bit like that social media post. One person recommends, oh yeah, I will. Two, three, okay, I'll actually do it.
Yeah.
Like I said with Ross last night, Ross says you swim around the UK makes your short swim seem a lot less fucking of a big deal. And like Obstacle is the Way, whatever trauma you've just experienced, reading that, you realize you haven't got it so bad.
Yeah.
And that is just perspective.
And perspectives are the main thing, because you can just change your attitudes. Viktor Frankl is like, the last of a man's freedom to choose is his attitude towards any sort of set of circumstances. And that is so true. Although it's really, really, really fucking difficult, it takes practice. But that kind of stoic outlook on stuff is probably the most important thing people can adopt, for me.
Yeah,
it's choosing their attitude.
And people straight away will attack you and go, you can't tell me to be happy. You're like, I'm not telling you to be happy. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking depressed, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I'm not telling you not to be depressed. Yeah. I'm not asking you to change. I'm not asking the world you live in to change. I'm just asking you to look at it through a different lens. That's it.
Just take that a step back.
Yeah. And like you say, it takes practice.
Yeah. I remember one of my friends when I was in Oz, he was sort of losing his job and visa shit. Like, I'm losing my visa. I've come to kind of accept that because bastard COVID, but like, he had a load of visa shit going on and that. And he was really, really like involved in the struggle. And that was all he was thinking about. And I was like, mate, where are you looking at this from? And he was like, well, like, just in my brain. And I just like tapped him on the back of the head. I felt like I was like a guru. And I was like, look at it from here, like the back of the head, like take a step back and be like, these are the cards I've got in front of me. But as you sort of step further back, there's more which appears, more options, and you can look at it from a different light, even if it's just a bit further away, it's a different perspective. That, mate, I wish I was smarter, because that would come out so much better if I was able to articulate it better. But I mean, one day I'll get there. If I keep reading, I'm just praying that I'll be able to sound smart.
You know, like, pretty much like people get so engulfed, they're like, Australia means everything to me. The visa's the gatekeeper of me staying here. I have these issues as well. And then recently I've just put forward an application in PR, and someone's come back and been like, oh, you need this, you need this. I was like, look, just put the fucking application in. I was like, if it doesn't work, I'm not bothered. I was like, just do it. Because ultimately, if it doesn't work, I'll go somewhere else. That's it. And people are like, oh, what are you going to do? You love Bondi. I'm like, there are loads of other places that I love that I don't even know about yet. Yeah. Could be a little pocket of somewhere in Argentina. Could be LA after the rioting. Could be Canada. Could be Norway. I might even give Dubai another fucking pop. I'll go back to Asia. Oh, but you didn't like Thailand, but I haven't seen all of it. You know, like, there are so many different places that we can go. And even if I spent 3 months looking somewhere, that's enough time to buy another kind of reload on your tourist visa. Plus, I have a feeling Australia are going to have to be more lenient with their borders.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping so. Because they're talking about not opening until 2021. My visa runs out on the 6th of January. I've got to technically get back and start my farm work on the 6th of October, which isn't going to happen. I'm planning Bali.
Telling you now, plan Bali to us come through. Bottles will come through because bushfires, COVID, and Australia wanted to file an investigation to China. China have just fucking desisted a load of export from China, from Australia, So the Aussie dollar just dropped by like 2% because of that. So Australia's going to be in a lot of trouble. They're going to need skilled migrants and tourists.
Well, I'm not skilled, so I'm fucked.
Mate, you've got a barista call Sunday about.
Yeah,
you've got a
true
podcast. You're a fucking podcast owner. And then you dismantle it. You're like, well, it's either going to work or it's not. Both of those are wins to me. So, you know, it's how people react to it.
Yeah.
And when people do moan at me about having a problem, I'm sure it's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you say in your book, put your problems in a pile, you're always going to take yours back.
That's one of the Lord's. Mate,
always the fucking best.
someone again's like, oh, you know what, I'm going to die in 4 weeks. We're like, oh, well, at least your problem's not going to last long. You know, there's this all relating to everything. Well, you know that person you don't like, call them a cunt now because you might not get the chance.
Yeah, and just do everything. But do you know what it's like? It's literally like afterlife. When he realizes that everything in his life is gone, he's like, well, I'm just going to live exactly how I want until the day comes that I finally have the bollocks to kill myself. I'm not saying kill yourself, everyone, or live in that way, but like living in that way that you just don't really care. Yeah. It doesn't, you know, nothing's going to affect you.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago, and he was having a bit of an issue about his dad, and his dad's not quite the father figure he was expecting. And he loves Afterlife. And I said to him, why don't you just treat him like Ricky's dad out of Afterlife? Just pretend he's got Alzheimer's. Turn up, sit there, be a good son, ask him questions, like, you know, listen to it and leave. I go, you don't have to have everything from someone to love him. And he goes, I never thought of it like that. I went, nothing's going to change. But when you sit there, don't expect these big engaging conversations. Don't expect him to care. Just treat him like that. And he goes, that's actually what it's like. And, you know, just changing someone's kind of set of perceptions around it. I love Afterlife for that, because there's so many depictions of actual real life modern society.
Yeah.
And it's great. And bulletproofing people from that perspective is another great idea. You know, choose not to be harmed and you can't be harmed.
Mark's he's a smart guy. Smart guy. There was something that I really, really wanted to say, and it's completely slipped my mind. So that's
it will come back. But if you this is another thing from the next book. Yeah. Daniel Kahneman splits our thinking into System 1 and System 2.
Yeah.
System 1 is automated. Most of our decisions, 95% of them, are automated. Going for the door handle, even going to the toilet to piss, someone throws a ball and you catch it. System 2 is the cognitive one. We actually have to think. Now, all our prejudice and our bias sits within System 1. Someone walks towards you on the road with their hood up at night. You think that person's going to mug you. That's an automated reaction. Cognitively, you think, well, it's raining and it is late. It's quite cold. They're probably not. Now, System 1 is responsible. When when you forget a word, System 2 holds the answer, but System 1's there. And have you ever noticed you do like a crossword with like a family member?
Yeah.
And you're like, four letters. Fish swims in the sea, and they're like, shark, and you're like, four letters. They go, oh, not shark. That System 1 throws that word to them. The same goes that when we're trying to cognitively think of something we've forgotten, the harder we think, the more it's blocked, because system one is the stupid one. Then suddenly when you're like, oh, and you're done, you go for a piss, wash your hands, you finally get it. You let system two take over. That's why a lot of famous kind of like inventors and people that don't want to be distracted by their system one over the years have fallen asleep or tried to fall asleep holding a spoon over a glass. You ever heard about this?
No.
So then as they drift off, as they fall asleep, they let go of the spoon in the glass and it wakes them up. And that's where they get their good ideas.
That's smart. I feel like shower thoughts. That's when it comes to when you're just relaxed, you're just chilling. Oh my God.
Think of another one. Driving.
Yep.
But driving starts off a system too. I hope I've got the systems wrong way around. When you first get in the car, it's cognitively, it's taxing, it's tiring. Yeah. What happens through repetition becomes system one.
Yeah. It gets autonomous and then you can just do it with your eyes closed, which I'm pretty sure at some stage I have.
That's it. And then in the shower as well, you're still washing. Have you noticed that when you brush your teeth, when you dry yourself with the towel, it's the exact same routine.
Yeah.
Every time. It's now automated. It's programmed. It's put in the back. So I love shower ideas. I miss driving because the amount of time which gets to think. Yeah. Even though you're like ragging it around in your car, whatever, it's still such a nice time to just have some time.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm one of these people. I've always lived like out of the town, always like 20, 30 minutes. So whenever I tell people sort of where I live, where it's like reference to Bournemouth, it's like 25 minutes out. They're like, oh, that's really far away. I'm like, well, it's not for me. And also, I really like driving because I don't have to think about anything apart from the potential that someone's just going to be like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to swerve into him. But that doesn't happen that often.
It's nice. And, you know, let's say you're listening to an audiobook. You half hour there, half hour back. It's an hour a day. It's 5 hours a week. You get through fucking David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Most people sit on that book for fucking 2 years.
Yeah. How long is your book? Let's just check that.
Through the right lens. It's an opportunity. Yeah. I've done 55,000 words. It's probably going to be about 70 or 80.
How many pages is that going to go down to?
Fuck knows.
Who cares?
I don't do the design. Like I send it off. They made it right. It's in so many different fonts. And I got track changes with my editors in the side where she's like, what does this mean? You need to expand on this. You repeat yourself here. Where are you going with this? And I'm replying that. Like, I'm not quite sure. She's like, right, what's your point? And then I write like another 5,000 words.
Are you one of those people that sort of like, when you've put it down, that's your idea, and you kind of don't want to always be a student when you feel like you're at the top of the game of it? Or are you always the student in that sense? Like when your editor comes back for your stuff, do you get kind of offended? Like, well, that's my best work. Or are you quite sweet?
Nah, she's smarter. She knows what she's doing. She's done it more than me. Same way, she wouldn't lecture me at jiu-jitsu or whatever. So yeah, when she says something, I'm like, fair play, this is your realm. Yeah. I'm swimming in your water. So you know, she's the shark and I'm the fish. So I'm like, yeah, cool. And a lot of the time I should agree with her. And then like, there's an element of the book where I sometimes trip her up. So I'm talking about pleasure and happiness and how pleasure is a black hole. There's a lot of space references in the next book.
I know there's going to be, because I've seen your obsession with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And yeah. I've kind of half expecting this to be like, not a space book. but definitely a space book.
in one of it, so I was talking about how pleasure is like a black hole and it consumes everything. Anything you put near it will be consumed. So I called it the pleasure black hole, brackets, no, not your arsehole. And in the edit, she got past it and she was like, James. And I was like, oh, don't worry, I'm just messing with you. So the whole way through the book, I've got stuff like that.
But the thing is, I wouldn't put it past you to put that in there.
Mate, yeah, me neither. You know, when I took my nap earlier on,
yeah,
the last three times I've been asleep, I've been learning about space. And my interesting things at the moment are learning about oceans that exist in our universe outside of Earth. Do you know anywhere there could be oceans within our own solar system?
I don't know. I wouldn't like to guess.
Some of the moons of Jupiter. So Jupiter has got several moons. Or we've got Titan. It's called Europa. There's another one. I can't remember it. So in essence, there is water on some of these moons. On another one, on Titan, their sea is made out of methane, because they've got a different amount of gravity to what we have. So what's a gas here is a liquid there. So there's this chap at the moment listening to him on a podcast. He's trying to get a man-made mission going to one of these moons where there's a kilometer of ice to drill through, but underneath they believe there's water. So they want to test that water to see if there's life in there. Because although it's so far away from the sun, it's generating its own heat through the gravity of Jupiter. And they're trying to determine, they're like, well, if there's life in there, that means that the kind of formation of life across the universe would be disjointed. We wouldn't be the only thing that's there. And then that's something that we can actually do. Yeah. Now, getting funding for it, that's one thing. But if we have the technology to go to that moon, to land, to drill, to test. If you want to go to another solar system, unless we figure out how to live forever, there's not much exciting stuff we can do in our own solar system.
You see, our nearest,
Then even if we don't know enough about using wormholes, we can't travel faster than the speed of light. If we're going to investigate anything, it has to be within our own universe. And I think that would be really interesting.
It's quite limiting, about isn't it?
Yeah, and even when we're looking at solar systems and universes far away, they're too far away. And people go, oh, you know, there'll be technology. I'm like, there won't. But you're not understanding it. And for me, like, the center of our own, this is in the book, center of our own universe, the center of our own Milky Way is about 15,000 light years away. So even if we went to a solar system within the Milky Way, near the middle, they wouldn't be seeing us. They'd be seeing humans with saber-toothed tigers and woolly mammoths.
It's probably a better world for them to look at than what's going on right now.
Exactly, and they're not going to be interested. So they're 15,000 light years away. That's someone who's close. If someone's in another solar system looking at us, they won't see us because the light of us as a civilized and technologically advanced humanity has not traveled to them yet.
Do you know what? I feel like I love the fact that you're so passionate about this. I'm also thinking, like, there's no way you, as James Smith, would have ever got into space if there wasn't books about it. Or, like, you've listened to one podcast and he's jumped on it and you've thought, well, I'm going to read that book or listen to that book. Because
it's always a never-ending, like, every night I want to learn before I fall asleep. Like, to me, I just find shit interesting. And I suppose because I have these leisurely days, when you're in retirement, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Learning is a hobby. And I just absolutely fucking love it. And tonight when I do it, do you know what? Even when I come in steaming, I put podcasts on.
Yeah.
Steaming.
Just, what's your go-to?
I love Joe Rogan, Star Talk, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I need to read.
Yeah, of course. Top favorite.
Yeah.
But the thing is about I Need to Read is they're so good. They keep me awake.
Yeah, I know. It's really engaging. Everyone's like, you're sitting there, you're probably getting a little bit hard because all the like information's getting you going.
Yeah, and then suddenly I can't sleep. I'm just thinking, I need to get up and seize the day and get on my life. That's pretty much the thought process that goes behind it.
Easy. I had another thought, but it's gone. And now I'm thinking about everything you said about the one and two, and it's gone.
Did you listen in the last podcast about the people weigh less at the equator?
No.
People weigh about a quarter pound less at the equator.
Well, mate, there you go. That's your secret.
There you go. So it's through centripetal force, like swinging a conch on a bit of string. You're obviously rotating further around mass at the equator than you are anywhere else.
That's insane.
Because you're spinning against gravity, which is pulling you in, but the rotation's obviously occurring more there. So Neil deGrasse Tyson did the mathematics. If you then accelerate faster, do you become heavier or lighter?
I guess you're heavier. No, you lighter. Yeah, because you're being pulled away almost.
Exactly. So you're being shot away. So think of it this way. You've got the rotational forces of the Earth, which are sending you sideways, but enough gravity pulling you down. But if you then send more speed or acceleration in that direction from where you're stood, it will then lessen gravity's effect on you. So if you accelerate the speed of the Earth, you become lighter. How much speed or how quick is a rotation of the Earth? Go.
I don't know. millimiles.
One full rotation.
No, 24 hours.
24 hours, cool. So how quick do you reckon that rotation would have to occur to become weightless?
And the thing is, I'm now interested in space. But
90 minutes. So if you got a full rotation of the Earth in 90 minutes, if you stood on the equator, you wouldn't weigh anything.
And then, of course, you wouldn't be stood.
Do you know what you'd be in?
Orbit.
Orbit. Yeah. Do you know how long it takes a satellite to revolve around the Earth?
A month?
90 minutes.
No, 90 minutes. Fucking hell. Of course. How do you retain the information? Because, like, I've met you. You're a normal person. You're not superhuman. Like, I think it's just if you're
interested in it. I mean, you know, you hang out with a plumber or a carpenter, they're not going to go, oh, fuck, what's that bit called again? They know their shit. They're like, this is how it works. It's part of their life. It's a daily thing. They're like, go in there, get that 4x2. Get them screws. Not them screws. Yeah. Get them. Right? Everyone's an expert in whatever they surround themselves with.
Yeah.
For me, I'm in there in bed visualizing it. I'm like, oh my God, that's so interesting. Like,
why are you led in bed? Like, just for people that aren't watching, James crossed his arms there as if he was in a coffin.
Tutankhamun. Like, I'm just getting ready. I might not wake up.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, I just got a lot of interest in it. It's just nice to be, it's just nice to be interested in something. I just like taking it in because I'm not just going to listen to there and passively listen when I could learn. I'm learning, I'm thinking about it, I'm visualizing it. Like, when I see stuff, I want to know how it works. Yeah. Sun cream, for instance. Do you know how sun cream works?
They've got something in it that blocks the UV rays, and something that it can't get through, I imagine.
Yeah, you got reflective based ones, like the ones with zinc in, but the other one's just got a compound in that's broken down by UV. When it's broken down, the skin doesn't get affected by it. And then again, I wanted to know what happens to the skin, and radiation from the sun can cause, I've slipped a word now. Like, I was like, oh, but so UV is bad for us. I thought UV was good for us. Oh, but 99% of it's blocked by the ozone layer. Oh, wow. You know, like, there's, my mind just goes off on a tangent. I lose myself.
You just go down weird, like, rabbit holes.
Yeah, but I like it.
Yeah.
But the tough one that took me quite a long to figure out was space relativity, time relativity, space time.
Einstein's E equals theory. MC squared, is it?
Kind of.
Far off.
General relativity was the tough bit where I thought about putting it this way. If I said to you, is Earth big? You can't really answer that.
Yeah, subjective.
Because to you, relative. It's big, but to Jupiter, it's fucking tiny.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the black hole in the middle of our solar system, in the middle of our Milky Way, the Earth is the size of us holding a plum on Earth compared to Earth. So there's so many, like, it's relative. You can't say anything's big, small, good, bad, subjectively relative. So time isn't an absolute across the universe either. And it's mad that, yeah, I got into that. Someone's like, oh, James, you're right. Like, I've got my scrunched face on. I'm trying to understand fucking time relativity.
Mate, that's like me. If anyone's watching, that's probably like me for the last like 3 minutes. You're talking about space. Talking about relativity, I'm thinking, well, my brain is fucking relatively small right now. It's just like shrunk. I can't take any of this in.
Yeah, I'll be quizzing you on them next time we speak.
Yeah, definitely. I'm conscious of time.
Do you want to tell people why we're limited on time tonight? Feel free to throw them under the bus if you like.
Well, Mr. Ferris, and maybe we can do a clip of this, but he's been ditched on a date.
Yeah.
So James, for that reason, James being a good friend, taking him out.
Not that much of a good friend because it's my favourite place to go for dinner. Rosie Campbell, Surrey Hills. When you're back, we'll get you there for some of the Jamaican fried chicken.
Oh, mate. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's good. When I'm back, not if I'm back. We'll be there as soon
as possible. Thank you very much.
James.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I know you're not one to sell yourself, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell people to do whatever on many of your various ways. I'll also do it.
Go to jamessmithacademy.com. There you can buy my book, try my academy for free, and sign up to my famous daily emails, which will give you a giggle, a laugh, maybe a boner every day.
I have often found myself left with a boner, which is quite irritating. I'm sure there'll be another one in the future. obviously keep an eye out for the release of his new book and get that pre-ordered. If you want to find James, it's at JamesSmithPT on Instagram, and I believe it's the same on Facebook as well. Of course, if you're listening to this for the first time, follow us on at A Need to Read. And that is with a number two as opposed to the word two. So thank you very much for listening. Once again, take it easy, and I'll see you very soon with my next book review.